there is a thought that I have tonight in the book of 2 Samuel. Let me see what chapter I got here. Have to look at this a little bit closer. That would be chapter 9, I believe. And verse 8 would contain a thought tonight that I'd like to talk to you about. There's a story here that begins in verse 1. Because David, the king over Israel, had asked, said, is there any yet left to the house of Saul? And I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake.
That's right.
Now look, in if you would, give me verse 8 there, and let's see what the word of the Lord says.
And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?
God bless you. I'd like to use for a subject tonight, how will you react to mercy? How will you react to mercy?
All right.
Now, understand, if you will, the house of Saul was enemies to David. David was looked upon by Saul as competition.
Yes.
Because Saul looked upon him as competing for the throne over Israel. When God had said all the time, when after that God had rejected Saul, rather, God said, look, I've got a man that I'm going to raise up that's a man after my own heart.
Right.
And he sent Samuel the prophet down to the house of Jesse to anoint a king. And the Bible said that he began to bring his sons before Samuel, and they began to look upon this one and that one, and one of them, you know, was just real tall, real big and handsome. Tall, dark, and handsome, you know, real good-looking fella. And he looked like, man, he ought to be a king. He looked like he ought to be a great politician. And he looked like he ought to be something real great. And then the next one come along, well, he might not have looked quite as good. And on down the line till about seven of the Jesse's sons came before Samuel. And he said, now look, is this all your sons? He said, well, no, we got one out yonder that's taking care of the sheep. And he said, look, go on ahead and get him, because we won't sit down until we get him here. So you see, God's anointing was upon David.
Right.
And when Saul saw that the anointing was upon David, he looked upon that as competition for him. He looked upon him as being a threat to his domain and his kingdom. Friend, I want to tell you something tonight. After Saul had been killed, when the household of Saul was gone, and he had made a promise, David had made a promise to Jonathan, the son of Saul. He said, look, if I get to be king, I'm going to show your household kindness. And will you do the same thing for me? They made an agreement between themselves. In other words, to be friends forever, even though regardless of which one became the winner in the end, they made an agreement together to yet show the other kindness and be friends.
That's right.
And because of this agreement, David said, is there any left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? Understand, if you will, friend, that David being king, he could have had every one of Saul's household killed. He could have had Mephibosheth killed. He could have had anybody else killed of the household of Saul that he wanted to. But there was something in David's heart called mercy. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. When you look at the attributes of God, you find one of the great attributes is mercy.
Right.
I look upon the word of the Lord, and it's a lot of folks that if God wanted to, he could just cut them off just like that.
Right.
You see, God didn't have to send the angels down to Abraham to warn him that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But you see, there was something about God. There was a characteristic about God called mercy. And because there was a characteristic about God called mercy, God sent his angels down. And God spoke to Abraham and he said, look, I've looked down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and I've seen the wickedness of it. And look, I'm going to destroy that town. I'm going to destroy that area of country. And he said, now look, God, we destroy the righteous with the wicked. He's praying upon God's mercy.
Amen.
So he said, no. God agreed, no, I won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. And Abraham brought it down. He said, look, if there's 50 righteous people in that city, will you save the city? Will you spare it? God said, yes. He said, oh, look, God, maybe there's not 50 righteous people, but maybe there's 40 righteous people in that town. Would you spare it for 40's sake? And God said, yes, I'll spare it. He brought it on down to 30, 20, 10, and stopped there. I'm made to believe that if he had brought it on down to one person, that God would have spared it for one person. See, a lot of times, friend, you've been on the treacherous highways, and there's been a spared tragedy. Your life was saved through some miraculous act, but friend, it was nothing but the hand of mercy. And I want to know tonight, how will you react to mercy?
Amen. Bless him, Lord.
Oh, I hope he's not taking this, because I want to get out of here. Home of Mephibosheth came before David. I just bowed down on the ground and did reverence to David. After a while, he bowed himself again and said, in essence, he said, look, what am I that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?
That's what he said.
In his own eyes, he looked at himself as a dead dog.
Right.
Oh, listen. But there was a heart of mercy in David. And because there was a heart of mercy in David, David said, fear not, Mephibosheth. You're going to eat bread at my table today. But I'll tell us something. We were dead dogs at one time.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I was Gentile. And we Gentiles was looked upon as dogs.
That's right.
And being looked upon as dogs, we was looked upon as worthless nothing.
That's right.
Useless. Absolutely good for nothing. But you see, because God had mercy, he was upon us as a dead dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to come all the way from heaven down. I'm going to shed the blood. I'm going to see the sunlight. Those are all. I'm going to see the Dakota Street. I'm telling you, God stretched out a hand of mercy.
Yes.
How are you going to react to it tonight?
That's good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How will you react to mercy? You see, tonight we could picture mercy. I preached a message one time, when mercy sets down, judgment stands up. And I pictured it like this. I pictured mercy as being a beautiful young lady that you had a date with. And I pictured judgment as being some old hag out yonder that you didn't want nothing to do with. And I'm telling you, friend, tonight, you've got a date here in this building with that beautiful lady called Mercy. But there's an old hag standing off on the side called Judgment. And that old hag said, just let me at him. Let me at her. Let me at that bunch. Let me at them folks. I'll destroy them. I'll show you how powerful I am. But you see, that beautiful lady called Mercy can stand in the presence of God. That beautiful thing called Mercy can plead with God for you and stay the hand of judgment.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I read... You see, the story that I used fits in so well with this message tonight, because you see, there was a man named Shimei that met David one day coming back home from battle, or going out to battle. And he began to throw stones and curse David the king. And David's soldier said, look, why don't you just let us go and just smite him with the edge of the sword? You see, that was judgment talking. But Mercy said, look, just let him alone. Let him go a while. And after a while, when David came to cross Jordan, Shimei, the very one that met him, was the very one that cursed him, was one of the first to meet him when he came back across Jordan. when he came to Mahanaim. Friend, I want you to know that there was a reaction to mercy, because the mercy of David, the sure mercy of David, there was a man that could have been dead that was spared to meet the king.
Right. That's right.
See, some of us tonight can remember back when we was lost in sin. You remember back when you couldn't sleep at night. You remember back when you didn't have peace in your heart. When you didn't have joy. When you didn't have love. When the fruit of the Spirit was not there. When your name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can remember when all that was written behind your name was sin. Sin.
That's right.
Sin.
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
But you see, one day that hand of mercy got a hold of you and brought you to a church house. And brought you to a place that a preacher could preach to you. And brought you to an altar of repentance. Got you filled with the Holy Ghost. Got you baptized in Jesus' name. And now tonight you can shout the victory because of such a thing as mercy. It seems to me like we've got an abundance of preachers in this hour that all they want to preach is judgment. Now, no judgment's in the Bible. Sure, it's true. Just as sure as mercy is a part of God's economy, judgment's a part of God's economy. But you hear me, friend, tonight, before judgment ever stretches out its hand, before judgment ever smites, there's that beautiful hand of mercy that's outstretched toward you. And when God stretches out that hand of mercy toward you, He said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah.
That's good.
Hallelujah.
Bless
you,
Lord.
So, Shimei, he decided, well, look, he didn't slay me. There must be something in his heart good toward me. I'm going to be spared. And when the day came and he started back across the River Jordan, old Shimei came out and greeted him, helping him get established in his kingdom. You see, it was the cause of mercy. And his reaction to mercy was what saved him and gave him longevity of life.
Bless God.
It was mercy.
Uh-huh.
I've seen folks, and it looked like that God ought to just hit them all at once and just kill them.
Yeah.
I've seen them that it didn't seem like this fit to live, and they sure wasn't fit to die. And in our own humanistic way of thinking, in our own carnal minds, we'd have said, oh God, if you'd just give me a chance, I'll send a bolt of lightning down and just smite him. I'll just melt him down like steel or something. I'll just melt him and make vapor out of him. I'll just annihilate him completely. But you see, there's such a thing in the heart of God as mercy. Hallelujah. Thank God for mercy. You see, there's something in God's heart that said, I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to try one more time. Thought about old John that prayed through the last time I was here. You see, if it had been some of us back yonder, we'd have said, oh, he ain't never going to get the Holy Ghost. We might as well just go ahead and send him on to hell and get him out of her. Ain't that the way we think sometimes? I see folks, can I preach this tonight? Can I preach this? I see folks come to the altar and saints sit back there and say, ain't no use in him going to the altar. He ain't going to live right. He'll never make it. Hey, the devil had the same decree about you. The devil stood off on the sideline out yonder and said the same thing about you. If I can get my hand on him, he won't make it either.
Old buddy down here on this front seat.
Yeah. See, the old devil, when he first come to God, old devil said, I don't even remember what his name is. The devil said, John, he ain't doing nothing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he just knows Louisiana and not him. He ain't worth a snappy thing.
Uh-huh.
He's not worth his salt. He's not worth the power to let it take his Lord's brain out. But you see, it was such a thing as mercy that looked at
him. Uh-huh.
And mercy, I want you to represent something here now. Mercy calls
drop called the blood. Mm-hmm. That was full of remission of sin.
Mandala kasha.
And mercy caused there to be another character called grace. Mm-hmm. The unmerited favor of God.
No.
And grace because of that mercy sent the blood. And when the blood came, it brought propitiation for our sin.
Yes.
You see, if it had been us, you know what we'd have done? We'd have just started picking up rocks. And stoning that woman to death. When all the time it's an imperfection in our lives too. You see, sometimes we look upon somebody that's backslid and we say, well, ain't no use to try them anymore. They done failed. They done backslid. They done stumbled. But you see, you're not perfect yet either. Hallelujah. You're still human. There's still a weakness in you that when the devil finds it out, he's going to work on you too. Hallelujah. How are you going to react to mercy tonight? What's going to be your reaction? When the altar call is given, how are you going to react to it? Are you going to come down and give God a chance to fill you with the Holy Ghost? Or are you going to sit back there and say, no, not tonight. I'll get it Sunday night. I'll get it next district camp meeting. I'll get it next youth camp. I'll get it next youth rally. I'll get it next something. Next revival comes along. Next time we have about a 2 or 3 weeks revival, I'll get the Holy Ghost then. Maybe I'll have a chance to get the Holy Ghost then. But you see, mercy's extending this beautiful hand to you tonight. Mercy's extending that loving hand with its outreach toward you tonight. And mercy's saying, won't you come on? Won't you come on? Won't you let my grace pay the pardon for you? Won't you let that blood be appropriated for your sin and cause your sin to be washed away and give you a new slate? How about it? Will you bow your heads tonight? I wonder tonight if there's somebody in this building that you'd like for God to fill you with the Holy Ghost.
that you'd just right now step out from your seat. I wouldn't feel right preaching a message like this without giving you a chance to pray. I wonder if there's somebody that you'd love to have the Holy Ghost. You'd just step out from your seat. Walk down here to the front and kneel. Give the saints of God a chance to pray with you and help you find God real in the power of the Holy Ghost. How about, is there one? Is there one that'll step out tonight? I'm not going to make a long altar call. God bless this one. Hallelujah. Is there somebody else? The hand of mercy stretched out. God's hand of mercy is waving across this audience tonight. God's looking. Is there somebody else that's hungry? Is there somebody else that I can bless? Oh, is there another one that I can show the kindness to for the sake of Calvary? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will everybody stand right now? I'm going to get ready in just a moment or two to turn this service back to Brother Rutledge. I wonder if there's somebody else that just step out from your seat tonight. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Maybe you've slipped and fell by the wayside. Maybe you're a little bit cold in your soul. Maybe you're backslid. I don't know. But you'd like for God's hand of mercy once again to just sweep over you and just wipe all that coldness, that deadness, that lifelessness away from you and give you a brand new start. Would you come? Would you come? I'm going to turn the service back to Brother Rutledge. He can finish this invitation. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Come on around, let's pray. Anyone else will come with the saints of God to gather around. Get a hold of God on behalf of Howard Wayne. And every one of you that need a touch of God, whatever you need tonight. Whatever you need tonight. Glory.
Just to know that His love is sufficient for me.
Oh yes, oh yes. Call on God, everybody.